Central Wisconsin woman.
President Obama released his $3.7 trillion proposed federal budget yesterday, which calls for cuts in some areas of government spending, but also some investments in others, like education.
These investments are an essential part of the budget my administration is sending to Congress, because I'm convinced that if we outbuild and out-innovate and out-educate, as well as out-hustle the rest of the world, the jobs and industries of our time will take root here in the United States. Our people will prosper, and our country will succeed.
But Republicans in Congress are not happy with the president's plan. Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Representative Paul Ryan, chair of the House Budget Writing Committee, says the president's plan is worse than doing nothing.
Many people thought, ourselves included, that the president would moderate after this past election. People call this triangulation. This is not a moderate budget. This is not a triangulation budget. This is a budget that went to the left. It would be better doing nothing than if we would actually pass this budget for the sake of our economy, for the sake of our future, and for the sake of jobs.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 15th. We will talk about the proposed federal budget and the spending cuts that the House is scheduled to begin debate on today, which would include the elimination of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which partially funds Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is an analyst with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, and we will welcome your questions and concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mark Goldwin, Policy Director for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which is a bipartisan nonprofit organization that educates the public on fiscal policy matters. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for being with us. So what do you think of the President Obama's $3.7 trillion budget proposal for 2012?
Well, you know, the most important issue of the day is the deficit and the debt. How does the president deal with these issues? And frankly, he doesn't go nearly far enough. He does have some good stuff. He freezes some areas of the discretionary budget. He has some good one-off spending cuts and tax changes. But on the whole, he avoids the big issues. He doesn't go after defense. He doesn't touch Social Security. He barely scratches the surface on health care. And he doesn't do or attempt to do comprehensive tax reform.
And you were the associate director of the fiscal commission that came up with those deficit busting ideas.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we all hear about this president's budget having come up with $1 trillion of deficit reduction. Remember, we came out with $4 trillion of deficit reduction.
Yeah, he essentially ignored that report.
There are some pieces of that in this budget, and you know, I like when I look through it and I see us mentioned. For example, some of the mandatory cuts, some of the student loan reforms, and reforms to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, the way highways are treated. But yeah, by and large, it missed the big picture. I mean, the message that we were trying to send from the commission is everything has to be on the table, and except for investments and programs for low-income folks, we pretty much hit everything. We hit defense, we reformed Social Security, we went after health care hard, and we reformed the tax code. And the president misses the mark on these issues.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the president, though, wants to freeze discretionary spending, maybe cut some stuff that we don't need, and invest in things he thinks we do need, like education and infrastructure. Isn't the economic time that we're in right now, doesn't that call for something like this?
Well, I think the president's right. We shouldn't reduce the deficit by hollowing out the country. We need to have infrastructure. We need to continue to educate our children, and we need to continue to do high-value R&D, because that's how we're going to grow the economy. But that's no reason to not be cutting elsewhere. And I think his freeze in that small area of the budget, the non-security domestic discretionary budget, is a good start. The problem is That entire budget, that makes up 12% of what we spent.
Mm-hmm. So you say we need to look at defense and Social Security and Medicare.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What did you think of Republican Paul Ryan's response that this is worse than doing nothing?
Well, I think what Congressman Ryan forgets is that if we do nothing, all of the tax cuts are going to expire in 2 years, and then we're going to reduce our deficit substantially through those higher taxes. I don't know that I agree with this assessment in general. The president does take some good first steps here. I mean, my criticism of this budget isn't that the president is doing the wrong things. It's that he's doing too little. I don't think this is a move to the left. I think this is an attempt to move to the center on some areas and to leave openings for negotiation, for future negotiation on others.
Mm-hmm. And do you expect, though, that even though the president didn't target any cuts in Social Security or Medicare or defense, that Congress can?
Well, I hope so. It's hard to do this without presidential leadership. But, I mean, as you know, our fiscal commission got 11 out of 18 people supporting our recommendations, including four who are still sitting senators. And on top of that, there's another two sitting senators who have said they're going to push the recommendation. So now we have six guys, three Republicans, three Democrats in the Senate working together to kind of keep the ball rolling on this. And, you know, there's some similar efforts going on in the House. So I'm hopeful that that this effort can motivate the president and John Boehner in the House to get to the table together and figure out how to deal with these issues.
So help us understand a little bit what's going on here. With the president yesterday unveiled his budget proposal for the budget year starting in 2012. And what the House today is going to begin debate on are proposed spending cuts that affect the budget we're currently in?
Now, the budget's a mess when you think about it. Here's typically how it works. In February, the president will release his budget proposal, which is not a legal document. It's just his vision of what the budget should look like. A month or so later, the Congress typically comes up with their own budget proposal. And a few months after that, by October 1st, they're supposed to have not only passed that budget, but passed the appropriations, that is, the individual spending bills for that budget. That didn't happen this year. Neither the House nor the – or, I'm sorry, the Senate was. But the House and Senate were not able to together agree on a budget to pass, nor were the appropriations passed. What we had was, in order to keep the government funded so it doesn't – so it's not disallowed from spending, we had what's called a continuing resolution, where we had a temporary – basically just – a temporary bill to hold spending at what it was last year. And that expires March 4th. And so the deliberation now is about how to fund the rest of the government from March 5th through October 1st.
And the Republican House leaders have proposed a package of spending cuts, which, and certainly in the spirit of full disclosure, would affect Wisconsin Public Radio and yours truly, since I'm an employee of Wisconsin Public Radio. The House is set to start debate on this package, which includes a proposal to eliminate the federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides federal funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, and, for that matter, public broadcasting stations all over the country. What is your take on whether the Corporation for Public Broadcasting ought to be eliminated?
Well, at the Fiscal Commission, we didn't eliminate the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but we did reduce the funding. The fact is, the budget is such a mess that the government's not going to be able to afford to do all the things that it wants to do, and it's going to have to prioritize, and it's going to have to start with basic services. What do we need? You know, we need to have a basic defense. That doesn't mean we shouldn't cut defense spending, but we need a basic defense. We need education. We need to make sure we have roads, and then kind of build that way and figure it out. What are things that are great to have, like public radio, but maybe we can't afford to be spending that much money on?
Yeah, it seems to me that the president's budget I was told anyway, I didn't read the whole bill, included $450+ million for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So President Obama is not proposing eliminating it, but there were, I think that is less funding than usual, and there are some, you know, funding cuts along those lines.
I haven't, to be honest, haven't looked at the line item on this in the president's budget, but no, he's not proposing eliminating it.
Yeah, and you are saying that it should be cut, but did you put a dollar amount on that?
We did, and I wish I remembered mm-hmm. what that dollar amount was, but I don't, unfortunately.
But so proposing cutting it, but not eliminating it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The irony of all of these Republican cuts is they're very deep cuts and they're very painful, but they're at the same time very harsh and not enough. And that's just what happens when you only look at this one small sliver of the budget, non-security discretionary spending. You have to cut very, very deep, and you still don't do nearly enough to get the debt under control.
We are talking about the proposed federal budget during this hour. Tomorrow, by the way, we are going to talk about the proposed Wisconsin budget repair bill. We hope to have two guests debating what Governor Walker is proposing for state employees and collective bargaining in the state of Wisconsin during our Big Question segment tomorrow between 7 and 8. This hour, it's the federal budget. President Obama unveiled his 2012 federal budget proposal yesterday, a $3.7 trillion document. We are going to take a look at the good and the bad of the president's proposed budget, and we will welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 this morning, Kathleen Dunn and her guests will be discussing Governor Walker's proposal to cut state workers' public workers' bargaining rights, collective bargaining rights. That's coming up this morning after 9 o'clock. We are talking with Mark Goldwyn, who is policy director for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, talking about the proposed federal budget unveiled yesterday by President Obama. And we are also talking about the merits or lack thereof of Republican proposed budget cuts for this budget year. One of them is the elimination of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. By the way, if you want more information on how a CPB cut or elimination would affect Wisconsin public broadcasting, we do have a list of frequently asked questions posted on our webpage at WPR.org, and it's also linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Wisconsin Public Radio would lose $1.1 million, a significant portion of our operating budget, should Congress do away with, eliminate the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and it certainly would be felt. More information online. Well, let's go to Patrick on Facebook, who writes, there has to be some compromise that is sensitive to the needs of the middle class and poor while encouraging growth in industry. When referring to the federal budget, Mark Goldwyn, is there some compromise that will be sensitive to the needs of the middle class and poor?
Well, absolutely. I think we came up with a great one on the Fiscal Commission. The honest truth is, and we have to be honest with the American people, everyone except for the most vulnerable is going to have to sacrifice. Everyone's going to have to contribute something. If we can go around and make pledges like no one's taxes are going to be raised if you're making below $250,000 a year, that's just not sustainable. And we shouldn't be making those pledges because we're not going to be able to keep them. But we can reform the tax code and we can reform the entitlements in a way that largely protects the middle class, that maintains the standard of living and that maintains the basic benefits that they expect.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a position on whether those tax cuts for those making more than $250,000 should expire in 2 years or should it be extended?
I suppose my view is that you know, given where we are, they should expire because we just need the money fiscally. But we really should get beyond this debate of should we continue the tax cuts that we passed in 2001 or should we not continue them? I mean, Democrats don't want to be having this fight. Republicans don't want to be having this fight. We need to move on to tax reform. Instead of talking about how are we going to deal with the existing mess that we have of a tax code, we should be asking the question, how can we fix the tax code? On the Fiscal Commission, we got rid of a lot of the loopholes, a lot of the exclusions, deductions, credits, and we were able to reduce the deficit substantially and dramatically reduce tax rates at the same time. We got the top rate down to 28% and still reduced the deficit.
Let's take some calls from Joe in Lafarge. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just listening to this, and I can pretty much tell why they want to get rid of public broadcasting, because you bring out the truth. I'd like to recommend a book called Take the Rich Off Welfare by Mark Zipazar and Arthur Naiman. And here's some of the chapters.
Well, just tell us the gist of what that book is advocating.
It's advocating getting rich people off welfare. And here's some of the chapters. Military waste and fraud, $172 billion a year. Accelerated depreciation, $37 billion. Lower taxes on capital gains, $37 billion, not counting home sales. Saving and loan bailout, $32 billion every year for 30 years. Agribusiness subsidies, $18 billion.
Joe, thank you very much. I mean, there's such a long list here. I need to just get the gist. And Mark Goldwyn, if we cut out what Joe and this author are calling corporate welfare, would that make a big difference?
It would make a difference. I mean, we're not going to get there with just corporate welfare. But the truth is we subsidize corporations and wealthy individuals tremendously, both in the tax code and in the spending side. That's something we found when we looked in this tax code at all these deductions and stuff. The mortgage interest deduction, we think it goes to everyone. We think that's a really broad middle-class benefit. But the truth is, it's incredibly concentrated in the top 15 to 20% of individuals. That's where we're subsidizing the housing house.
I was under the impression that the Department of Defense was saying that it could deal with being cut, and I thought the president was going to propose cuts in the Defense Department for instance, projects no longer needed.
Well, it's funny. Everyone has a different definition of cuts. For the Department of Defense, being cut means getting less of an increase than what you were asking for last year. Mm. And so, yes, the Department of Defense is taking cuts in some programs and some weapon systems. And actually, they're proposing some cuts to their healthcare system, which is good. But on net, it's going to continue to grow in the president's budget with inflation. That's not a cut in it by any definition that I know of.
And we can cut our military, we can cut the Department of Defense without hurting our national security.
Yeah, Senator Tom Coburn always likes to say that we can have peace through strength without a waste of money. There's an incredible amount of waste in the Department of Defense. One area is in weapon systems. Often we feel like we need to have the very best fighter plane. Even if it costs three times as much, it's the second best fighter plane. Sometimes we do things that are even more ridiculous. We hire two contractors to make the same engine for a plane, and then when one engine is complete and we know it works, we continue to pay the other contractor to develop the engine. I mean, we just do things that don't make sense. And then there's the military benefits. And I know I'm going to get killed for saying this, but we have a very expansive military entitlement system where, you know, if you work in the military for 20 years, you can retire at age 40 with your full retirement benefit. If you work for 19 years, you get nothing. It's not a fair system, and it's not a cost-effective system.
Let's take one more call before news time. Linda in Monroe. Hello, Linda.
Hello. I disagree with your guest about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I think that funding should be restored. Now, I want to tell you if you think I'm wrong. I think one should reverse the direction of things that President Bush did when he got in office. He started two wars. He lowered the federal income tax to 35%. Now, President Obama got elected because he said he's going to raise the tax on the richest 2%, which he should have done right when he first got in office, and tax the hedge fund dealers, with some making over billions a year, up to a 40% rate rather than the 15% rate. Now, the problem is he has to do it now and not wait another 2 years like he did when he first took office.
Yeah, but can he, the president, do that, remove those tax breaks?
Well, I mean, you always could pass a law that repeals the tax deal that they made in 2010. But in all likelihood, and in fact almost definitely, the tax policy is going to be revisited when that package expires in almost 2 years. But the reader is right. We drove up the deficit a lot by two rounds of tax cuts, two wars, and frankly, not only a prescription drug bill that drastically expanded Medicare, but also a big run-up in discretionary spending more generally. And that happened under the last administration. But the problem is this administration needs to take responsibility. These are no longer the Bush tax cuts. President Obama just signed them back into law. They're now the Bush-Obama tax cuts.
And to clarify, Mark, your organization advocates lower funding for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, not the elimination of it.
The commission, the fiscal commission, had proposed lower funding.
Yes.
My organization doesn't have a specific position on public broadcasting.
We are talking about the proposed federal budget and the proposed spending cuts in the federal budget being debated today in Washington. President Obama sent Congress a $3.7 trillion proposed federal budget yesterday, but Republicans in Congress are criticizing the proposal for not going far enough on spending cuts and relying too much on tax increases. Plus, debate starts today in the House on a package of budget cuts for the current budget year, including a proposal to eliminate the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides federal funding for Wisconsin public radio and television. We are talking about the federal budget debate this hour and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 o'clock, or it's 7:37 on this Tuesday, February the 15th. Our guest is Mark Goldwin, Policy Director of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which is a bipartisan nonprofit organization that educates the public on fiscal policy matters. Mark was also the Associate Director of the Fiscal Commission. And let's go back to the phones and take our next caller, Edith in Madison. Hello, Edith.
Yes, hello, Joy. Of course, the revelation about what's going to take place, I guess it's in the House today, simply takes my breath away because it is just another leg in the strategy of the corporate oligarch in this country to take away information made available to the public, which never gets to the public by way of the standard media sources, the major network news, newspapers per se, which are now all in the business of simply entertaining us and holding us in ignorance. It is only since public broadcasting came into existence, I think in the late 1960s or early 1970s, that the public, if it wants, has information made available to it, which gives the background to what is really going on. And of course, with the Supreme Court decision that was recently made, where a corporation is a person. I mean, if that isn't the most ludicrous thing anyone ever heard of, here we go. Your guest, I'm sure, is probably in the pay of the huge corporate interests
that have a lock on Congress,
and I'm horrified by this whole idea.
Edith, our guest is with a bipartisan nonprofit organization on fiscal policy matters, but Mark Goldwyn, you were associate director at the Fiscal Commission, and again, that commission recommended some cuts, as in reduction in funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That commission did not recommend the elimination of the CPB.
That's right, although, as I said, I don't remember how much we reduced it by, and we were dealing with $4 trillion of budgeting, and this was a small part of it. But the important thing is we as a government have to prioritize, and there are lots of things that I would love for the government to do, and we all would, and we'd love to be able to pour unlimited amounts of money on. But there's limits to our resources, and we just need to think carefully about where we want the money to go.
Mm-hmm. But this is what's going to happen, isn't it, Mark Goldwyn? Some people who are very passionate about a program or a service that receives federal funding that is going to receive a cut or elimination. I think, you know, people understand that some sort of spending freezes or cuts might even will be in order. But when you know, people are going to be upset, and they're going to try to change minds.
I understand and appreciate the passion, but I think this can kind of serve as an example of why cutting spending is so hard. A program that may only save the government $500 million or $1 billion can be everything to the people who depend on that program. And when you have one program like that and you spare it, it's like, oh, okay, we don't need to hit that program. But that's every program. Every program has a constituency. Every program helps people. There's very few programs. You know, there's no line in the budget that just says waste, fraud, and abuse. Every program has a function and has people that rely on it. And we're going to make the hard choices, and that's not politically easy.
Well, what do you have a prediction as to, and I know you're not here just to talk about the CPB, but we have the House taking up some big budget cuts, including the elimination of the CPB in the debate that starts today. What's your analysis on what's going to happen with the debate over spending cuts during this fiscal year?
Sure. So let me speak more generally. What the Republicans are taking up now is about a $60 billion spending cut bill for the remainder of the current year. That's quite deep, and I think deeper than any spending cut, certainly any discretionary spending cut we've had in the past. Pushing up against that, our continuing resolution, which is funding the government, is going to expire March 4th. And then we're going to have a vote on the debt ceiling, which is the legal limit on how much we can borrow, sometime in May or June, most likely, and possibly in April. These are going to be a lot of points where the Republicans will have something over the president in some case, because you have to pass the debt ceiling and you have to continue to fund the government. And so that's going to lead to a showdown. And it's not clear where we're going to end up. Where we should end up is the president should say, okay, I'm willing to go even bigger than you, but instead of just focusing on this tiny little sliver of the budget, I want to go after everything. I want to go after tax breaks. I want to go after defense. I want to go after entitlements. And I want to reform Social Security. And that's what should happen. What's more likely to happen, I think, is some type of negotiation where 2011 is hit not quite as harshly, but the spending cuts come into pretty large effect in 2012. And that doesn't mean the elimination of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but it's certainly on the chopping block. And that's just going to depend. I mean, there's going to be a showdown between the president and the Republicans, and it's not clear exactly where it'll end up.
It's a showdown, and it's not clear where it's going to end up. Okay, Ted couldn't stand the line, but wanted to ask, how much money does the United States spend on foreign aid annually, and how much money do we give to the United Nations? And I guess whether is that addressed in the budget proposal, Mark Goldwyn?
We spend about $40 billion on foreign aid when you account for foreign military aid as well as humanitarian, although don't quote me on the exact number. I think about 5 to 10 billion of that goes to the United Nations. You know, foreign aid is kind of everyone's least favorite line of the budget. It's the first thing they always go to when they want to cut. And the truth is, we do a lot of things in the foreign aid budget that we don't need to do. You know, we send Americans on trips overseas to give papers. We help foreign companies advertise. So there's definitely, you know, we do corporate welfare, we do individual welfare. There's definitely room to cut the foreign aid budget, and I don't think you should let anyone tell you otherwise. But anyone who kind of thinks that we can balance our budget by just getting rid of foreign aid, you know, is going to be sorely disappointed when they see this tiny impact that it has.
Our next caller is Jill in Rhinelander. Hello, Jill.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My comment is, if these senators and representatives want to make some cuts, why don't they lead the charge, cut their own wages by a significant amount, cut what they spend for their staffing, start paying for their own health insurance and their retirements, etc.? I think they should be our role models, so the rest of us out here that are going to be penalized by all of these cuts can say, well, they're taking a beating too.
Thank you for that question. One of our principles in the commission was everything has to be on the table. The solutions are going to be painful, but Washington must lead. Washington needs to go first. So I think you're absolutely right. They have taken some steps. The House has voted for a 5% cut to all of their budgets. We recommend a 15, so I would have gone bigger. They also are going to have a 2-year freeze in their salaries. I would have had no problem if they took a cut. But we have to remember, this isn't going to save very much real money. This is symbolic. It's important symbolism because Washington needs to lead. It's not fair that Washington is going to ask other people to pay higher taxes or accept lower benefits if they don't have their own house in order. And that's why I'm so supportive of, you know, despite all my federal employee friends, I'm so supportive of President Obama's decision to freeze federal automatic cost of living adjustments for 2 years. You know, for one, nobody else was getting cost of living adjustments in the recession besides federal workers. But on top of that, it shows Washington is ready to go first.
We are talking about the federal budget. President Obama has sent Congress his $3.7 trillion budget proposal for 2012. We are discussing what's in it and what's not, and also weighing some of the merits of the Republicans' proposed spending cuts for 2011. We wonder what your reaction is to President Obama's proposed budget and if there's an area that concerns you the most. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And by the way, on Facebook, you will find more information on President Obama's proposed budget, and you will also read about the House Republicans' beginning debate today on spending cuts, which include a proposal to eliminate the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides federal funding for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television and public broadcasting around the country. We have posted some information on what that would mean for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on our website at WPR.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, it is going to be a partly to mostly cloudy, mild day today with highs in the mid-30s in the north to the lower 40s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock now on this Tuesday, February the 15th. Stay tuned. Coming up after 8, it is On Your Money. Certified financial planner Kevin McKinley will be in with information and advice on your money after 8. More talk now about government spending and the proposed federal budget with a guest who is with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, Mark Goldwin. He was also the Associate Director of the Fiscal Commission. He is reacting to President Obama's proposed budget, which if I'm paraphrasing this correctly, Mark, you think that the president's budget is a good first step at taking some cuts at government spending, but it doesn't go nearly far enough, that he needs to be addressing things like defense, Social Security, Medicare, and the tax system.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And you also thought that the president's budget depends too much on a rosy economic picture?
I do. If you look at, let me backtrack for a second. In the president's budget, the numbers do more or less add up. He, according to their projections, stabilizes the debt as a share of the economy at a high level, but he stabilizes it. My concern is that it only occurs because of two sets of rosy assumptions. The first is economic. They assume far faster growth than the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office does. And as a result, their starting point, they're already way closer to their goal. That's the first set of rosy assumptions. The second set is what I would call rosy political assumptions. They have all this money in the budget where they're just kind of assuming Congress is going to find it. So, for example, they call for $200-some billion to do what's called a doc fix, which is where they repair a broken Medicare formula, and it's pretty expensive. And then they have another line that says basically unspecified savings to pay for that doc fix. And they do the same thing with highway funding. They say, we're going to make sure that highway funding lives within its means. We're going to increase it dramatically, and then there's going to be a bipartisan decision of how to pay for it. So they're just kind of assuming that the political system is going to find these offsets that they aren't able to.
Our next caller is Jim in Kewaunee. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
Very good show. I'll try to be as eloquent and quick as I can here. I tell you, the way this whole thing is going is not right. Everybody understands our budget in this country is in trouble. Our country's in trouble, but they've not looked at some of the big things, like your subsidizing of these big corporate farmers, which are sometimes foreign owned. And I think the budget was like a 5-year budget of $900 billion around, and Bush passed that through. And that's just a big corporate giveaway. It's corporate welfare. They call it subsidy. It's corporate welfare. And a lot of these are millionaire farmers. Over 80% of the subsidies for these farmers goes to the top richest farmers, not the family small farm, medium-sized family farm. And to me, this is just like Wall Street, and are not splitting the commercial banks from the investment banks in Obama's bill, which we have a casino-style banking system, which is going to go to greed again and bust again. And they're not fixing the things that need to be fixing. And I'm sorry, I voted for President Obama, that he's not taking a hard line on a single payer in this health care bill. And I just don't understand how this is all going to be fixed if we have corporations running our politicians. That's what I have to say, Joy.
All right. Do you have something to say back, Mark Goldwyn?
I do. Thanks for the question. Farm subsidies are one of the most hated programs among economists. They distort the market by changing what crops people grow. Sometimes we're paying people not to grow crops, and so they distort the amount of food that's in the market. They go mostly to wealthy agribusinesses, and on top of all that, they're not run efficiently. The president's budget cuts them for wealthy farmers, cuts total farm subsidies by about 1%. That's barely anything. I totally agree with you. We need to take a hard look at these farm subsidies. I think, move to more of a crop insurance system. We're not doing direct payments so much anymore, certainly not to the large agribusinesses, which get most of the farm subsidies. And the president hasn't shown seriousness on this issue.
Generally, can you categorize the winners in President Obama's proposed budget?
Well, sure. So education does pretty okay. There's a big expansion of infrastructure, particularly highways, but without any specified way of paying for them. So highways and other mass transit, but no way to pay for them. So in theory, they're winners, assuming that this bipartisan financing actually happens. And then there is kind of like tech stuff. Like there's having 4G, fourth generation Wi-Fi networks in rural areas, and a lot of investments like that. Those are probably the big winners. The big losers, people making above $250,000 a year, they're going to see the tax cuts expire, and on top of that, they're going to see their tax expenditures, their mortgage interest deduction, and their state and local deduction cap, and corporations. The president has called for revenue-neutral corporate tax reform, but in this budget, there's just revenue increases on corporations.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Larry in Madison. Hello, Larry.
Thank you. Your guest favors cutting the congressional budget. This would be a costly mistake. Congress is the branch that checks on the executive branch. And the executive branch is huge, as we all know, and requires a lot of resources to be adequately checked. And I would point out that it is the presidency, an all-powerful, unchecked presidency, that has gotten the United States into numerous expensive foreign entanglements. Maybe more congressional oversight could have saved us some of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mark Goldman?
Well, we were going to cut the executive branch by an equal amount, so at least keep them on the same footing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we need a vibrant legislative branch, just like we need a vibrant executive branch. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time on the Hill. There's a lot of things that these offices are doing that they don't need to be doing. There's a lot of employees that they don't need. There's a lot of makeshift work. And everyone's going to have to sacrifice. And if Washington doesn't show that it's willing to sacrifice first and lead, I don't see how it justifies asking the public to.
Do you see in the end Congress moving toward cuts for or changes in Social Security and Medicare?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Do you see Congress actually taking on the issues of Social Security and Medicare when it comes to the federal budget?
I think some of them want to. I mean, as many people probably heard, Social Security is called the third rail of American politics. In our D.C. metro systems, we have two rails the trains on and the third rail that runs electricity. The joke is, you know, if you touch Social Security, you get electrocuted. But the fact is, we're going to have to reform it sooner or later. And I think Republicans want to get this issue off the table. Republicans are, I think, ready to deal on this. And the president has at least showed some overtures that he's interested. You know, there's many paths forward. We put one that to the combination of very slowly raising the retirement age, reducing the growth of benefits in a progressive way so high earners get less, and raising the amount of income subject to taxation and Social Security. And I think that's a pretty good approach.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us. Mark Goldwyn is Policy Director of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we are planning a big question debate on Governor Walker's proposed budget repair bill and his proposal to end collective bargaining rights for public employee unions. That's the big question tomorrow between 7 and 8.